You hear that? It's the sound of transformation. Or just Ryan in episode 6 of Ryan's Consciousness Unlocked. Woo! Oh my god, she's so awesome! Wow! Today's conversation is when we want to wait, but the world does not wait for us. That's the title too. Now, I had so many experiences with so many different people when I was growing up, but most of the time I found myself really loving these people. Like, I have this condition where, well, when I was younger, and honestly, I miss that part of me, because even though I knew, I didn't really think about, it was crazy because I didn't change that part of me until I was like 16. Because, you know, I was homeschooled. I was really like a happy kid, even with all of the crap that I was going through. So I didn't really think about, oh yeah, these people are gonna hurt me. I thought, let me try and make sure I am acceptable enough so they keep me in their life. When people used to get really mean and mad at me, I would think, oh, I need to fix this. I wouldn't think, you know, why are they upset with me when I'm just a kid? And that's why growing up, after 16, I had bad anger issues, because I realized that everybody was just mad at me for no reason. That's like, I don't know if that's a teenager thing to realize that people are genuinely just mad at you for no reason. But when I turned 16, 17, I realized, oh my God, people really are using me. I thought that I was like trying to make sure I could be used in an effective way in their life so they wouldn't get rid of me. But then I didn't realize these people were using me regardless. They were using me. That's why they didn't get rid of me. But I say that to say, like, growing up, I loved people very strongly. I loved people very hard. And when people would disappear, it was this whole thing. Like, I remember this dude I liked named Noah. The reason why I don't care about saying his name on the web and blasting him out is because he did that to me when my dad died. So he deserves no mercy. But yeah, I was like really always there for Noah. I wrote a song called Break Me about Noah and everything. If he ever comes out to claim that success, I'm going to literally make sure he is the most unhappy person ever. But the crazy thing is, like, I still have a soft spot for Noah, because Noah was like one of my closest, I don't know, the only people that really talked to me, like, outside of my family. You see what I'm saying? Like, how easy it is to love for me. Like, it's just so easy to love. It's just annoying. But it's also like, as I grow older, it's harder for me to open up to love. But still, it's like, I'm a really loving person. I hate that. Growing up, I used to fall in love with people. Romantically and platonically, when I would become friends with people, I'd be like, man, we're friends for life. And when I like date people, I'd be like, yeah, you're gonna be like, there are exes that I have that I can literally go on Facebook and talk to, like three of them, and it's just like an ordinary day. Like, we've been exes now for about 4 years. We dated like 7 years, like 2 years, or 30 months, or wait, we dated for like, people that I've dated for like a year or like 9 months, like, my mom knows them, you know? Like, it's so easy for me to love. It's just strange. And it's easy for me to keep people in my life. So like, when people really leave, that's what I'm trying to get to. Like, when my friends would leave me and go to other friends, when my cousins would hang out with me, and then when they would get around the older cousins, they would act like they didn't like me at all. When my romantic partners would break it off with me for no reason, even if we're like, I had romantic partners that were like, no, I'm not gonna be your friend because I actually am dating someone. And I'd be like, oh wow, like, you gonna choose them over me, even though we only dated for like 8 months and now I'm like your best friend? You gonna choose them over me because your girlfriend don't want you talking to your ex? Even though I don't look at you as an ex, I look at you as like a dude that I used to talk to, or a girl that I used to kiss in the back of the school. We're not gonna get into that, but but the thing is, it's hard when these people leave you. Like, when I was growing up, when these people used to leave me alone, Like, when they, it's a big thing, like, when you growing up, like, just with generational curses being attached to you, and, like, people putting hexes on you as a young kid, like, in the African-American community, I notice a lot of times African-American women will put hexes or curses on their family because they don't, because it's not, like, a consistent thing, because am I out here putting hexes on people? But back in the day, not just African-American women, but Africans would, like, put hexes on each other, on different people in the village, or, like, they would curse you. And it's, like, I don't know if that's, like, in any other heritage. I'm talking about my nationality. I don't know if any other, well, one of them. I don't know if anybody else, like, in your community, or, you know, if you from Thailand, and they be, like, putting hexes on people. But I'm saying, like, in the Black community, it is a normal thing to have evil eye on you from your family members. It is actually genuinely true. Like, little Black girls grow up with evil eye from their mom. They grow up with evil eye from their aunts. They grow up with evil eye from their cousins. Like, they grow up with evil eye from their brothers, from their uncles. Man, little Black girls go through so much. But growing up, it was like a consistency of, like, me, my mom didn't know what was going on, and I was, like, experiencing a lot of evil eye. When I tell you, like, things were happening and we didn't know about it until I grew up and we read books, and my mom was like, oh my God, you literally had, like, so many people putting spells on you. It was really sad. Like, my mom had a big family and my dad had a big family. So, like, my mom had a big family with her mom, and my mom had a big family with her dad, and my dad had a big family with his dad's side of the family. So that's three families that I was around. So you can guess the amount. Like, you can guess, like, you know how if you're African-American, if you're a girl and you watching this, and you know how, like, when we're younger, we would say, like, our parents would say our hair was long but somebody cut it or something like that, or just stopped growing. That may be the product of something witchy. It's true. It's really sad, but it's true. But it's good to be knowledgeable about these things, because it's actually really kind of fucked up. But honestly, growing up, I had a lot of people that would, like, you know, torment me or just be mean to me, and they'd leave me be, and they'd leave me, like, in these conditions where, like, they would use me up, and then they would, like, come in my life, be my friend, come to my house, drink my juice, and then they just stop talking to me. Like, I swear it, my mom can vouch for me. People would come to my house, get my ices, get my juices, get my candy, and then they just act like they didn't know me because I was quote unquote weird. But I wasn't weird when you came to my house to watch on demand TV, Xfinity. I wasn't weird back then. You know, like, people in high school, in elementary school, they would take my mindless behavior posters. I was so sweet, I would give them out, and I'd give people options, and I only had two left, and my mama spent $14 on that magazine, and I'd give people different posters, and then they wouldn't say thank you. They'd be, like, laughing at me, like, ooh, she just gave her shit. Like, people would actually make fun of me for giving. So I'm saying, like, when certain friends, like, I had friends, a friend that I lived on a block with, and she would go to school. We went to elementary together. She would go to school and talk so much shit about me. And then she'd come home, and we'd be on that block, and I was so nice. I was so kind. She would come to my house and knock on the door. You want to play? I'd be like, yeah, sure. Then I go to school. So-and-so said that you got this going on at your house. So-and-so said that you got that going on in your house. So, like, it was so sad how easy it was for me to be treated like that. It was so sad how consistent people treated me like that. Like, people would come into my life, and the crazy thing is, they wouldn't all the way leave. They would just leave when it was perfect for them, and then they'd return, like, in a couple of months or a couple of days or a couple of weeks when it wasn't going good with their friends, or when they wanted something, and they would return for like 3 days and then they would leave. And I didn't realize, like, I was sitting around loving these people, sitting around waiting for these people, but I didn't realize, like, life goes on without these people. These people, like, I'm not gonna lie, growing up, when people would leave and they'd come back because they weren't done using me, and I would still have that door open. Like, I'm telling you, people would literally go missing from my life for months on end. Friends on the internet, everywhere, for months on end, then come back when they need to talk about something or something's going wrong. And when people would do that, I would sit around and I'd be like, man, I'm always going to be alone. Man, I'm never going to have friends. Man, this is so sad, man. And I didn't move on. Like, only time I would get new friendships is when, like, somebody and me would have an interest with each other on one social media platform. And I'd be like, I'd start talking to them little by little and sending them memes. And then we're all, like, talking. And then they'd leave. Like, I'm telling you, I didn't start leaving relationships. I didn't start leaving people alone myself first until probably I was, like, 19. Dead ass. I didn't start leaving people alone until I was, like, 19. Probably the end of my 18th year, because I had went through such a bad heartbreak. I was like, man, I don't want to deal with nobody. But even that wasn't in the, even when I did that, when I stopped talking to people, I didn't do it with the intention to hurt them. These people be doing that with the intention to show me that they don't need me. No, when I disappear, I do it because something wrong with me, not because something wrong with you. And if something wrong with you, I'm gonna tell you, man, you know what, this relationship that we got going on, it's not doing too well. And it's really easy for me to say it because, honestly, I say that to people so they'll know it's not something that I feel, you know, that is just me. It's like, I honestly feel like both of us got too much we got going on. Like, that's usually what I'll say. I'll be like, can we be friends? Or, you know, just not talk as much and we can get together, like, when it's a better time. Like, when you feel better, when I feel better. I'm such a mutual person. Like, I'm just a mutual dude. I care about people mutually. People do not give a shit about me like that. So, I'm not gonna lie, like, okay, so, boom, people would come, people would go, and I'd be waiting, and I'd be, like, on the sidelines, and then, I'm not gonna lie, growing up, people would talk about me, and then they would come back into my life to be my friend. Ain't that strange? Ain't that weird? People would literally talk about me, and they'd come back into my life to be my friend, and I would wait for them to come back. So, like, when I got my heart broken real bad, I was waiting for him to come back. He said, girl, please. So, oh, shit. So, I don't know, like, being used up all my life, I always expect, okay, no matter what they do, I'm not gonna lie, I've kept the door open for people to use me. I'd be like, well, I know they're gonna miss this, so they'll be back. And I'd expect it, I'd wait for it. And that is so sad. Like, instead of moving on, today's episode is really, like, this is the truth. The world moves forward without you. Like, these people move on, and they be leaving the relationships that they have with you, the relationships that you feel like are so important to you. And I'm not just talking about love. When I'm talking right now, I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about all that. People will come into your life and talk to you like they gonna die without you. Like, they can't keep going without you. Like, they can't survive without being your friend. They can't survive without being your favorite cousin. But then as soon as they get on their feet, I'm telling you, if you're, like, energetically, if you're a higher vibrational person, as soon as people that you love get on their feet, for some reason, the universe, I don't know, God made it that way. I think it's so we could thug it out on our own, or we could learn to find the people that really match with us. Whatever it is, it's definitely, like, some kind of lesson. Or maybe, like I said, it is a generational curse. Maybe it is a hex. Y'all got to understand that these things are actually real. Like, these hexes, these curses, all that is genuinely real. People really do be trying to mess up your life or steal your energy. You don't know who in your family could be taking your energy because they feel like you on a whole nother level than them. And the thing is, like, what I noticed, people will, witches in your family will do, like, this is definitely a thing for ethnic people. Like, if you're ethnic, you know what I'm saying is true. Witches in your family will see your future before you see it. Like, say, for instance, your mom comes to them, like, do you think she'll be okay? Or say, for instance, nobody even knows they're a witch, and they're like, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Trying to make sure that they're still the most successful in the family, like, trying to make sure they're still the supreme. I'm hitting y'all with two topics at once. Y'all should be paying for this. I'm gonna start charging y'all. But yeah, but yeah, seriously, these people, it's like, it's a bunch of things that go into being alone, but I'm telling you this much, God always has, like, a plan. So, if you've been alone for too long, if you've been single for too long, I'm not gonna lie, you should start working towards, like, learning about generational curses, learn about hexes, evil eye, how it can harm you, learn about protection, because These people have a vendetta against you when you're pretty. Even if you think that you're not all that, people always have some kind of vendetta against you when they feel like you got something that they don't got. But yeah, the moral of the story of this lot of this episode is people are going to move on. You need to move on too. Stop opening that door and stop keeping it open for the sake of the possibility of them coming back and using you up again. Like, literally all you're doing is saying, okay, I'm gonna leave this door open so just in case they want to come back and use me, they can come back and use and abuse me. Like, when people leave you alone and you keep that energy like there instead of instantly cutting them off, you wonder why you're not successful and you wonder why you can't build a better future for yourself. That's because your energy is still that of the past. That's because you have refused to let them go because you think, okay, they're going to come back anyway. Just because they're going to come back anyway doesn't mean that you should want them to. If somebody leaves me, honestly, in this stage of my life, if somebody was to leave me, my first thought would be, okay, they gone, they out of here. It wouldn't be, oh, hopefully they'll come back, or oh, maybe this connection, maybe it needs some time. No, my first thought is, fuck you. I can't even lie. My first thought has to be, fuck you. Because out of everybody that didn't care for you, out of everybody I know didn't care for you, I know I done made sure I gave my 2 cents. Like Madea said on that movie, I know I didn't put in, even if it was $5, I put in something. So for you to decide that I'm no longer family, when people come into my life, I'm like, this is my family member. If they leave my life, you dead to me. And vice versa for if I leave them alone. And honestly, I think certain cases it's different. Yeah, maybe you got the kind of notebook relationship where you know y'all are right person, wrong time. But like I told y'all, that right person, wrong time shit, that is very rare. It's very rare for it to be right person, wrong time. That's the honest to God truth. You'll be seeing it in the movies and you'll see a couple of twin flames meet after 30 years of being separated and you think, okay, yeah, me and my person got a chance. Baby, there are 7 million people on these streets and at least 20 of them look just like your person. Go get you a replica. At least one of them got the same name when they look like them. Ain't no reason, I'm gonna be honest with you, there's no reason to be waiting for somebody to return, especially considering everybody, there's so many different people. Man, I want to see some Drakes, I want to see some Nicki Minajs, I want to see some Beyoncés, I want to see some Shakiras, I want to see some, you know, Adeles. You know, it's too many people for me to just be over here worried about, you know, who I want to put out there, Jack and Jack. You know, it's a couple of Jack and Jacks out here. It's too many people for me to be worried about Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he fine. I ain't even gonna hold you. But you know, I mean, there's Ryan Gosling. You know what I'm saying? So there's always another option. I mean, getting Ryan Gosling is like getting Ryan Reynolds. I mean, it's really not, because Ryan Reynolds is really funny. But you know what I'm saying? So you sitting around like, oh, there's no one like them. There's nobody that can compete. I know 20 motherfuckers who want that spot right now. And that's the honest to God truth. All right, y'all. I'll see y'all in the next episode.